One of the things that I miss about being in seminary is being part of a daily worshiping community. I mean, I didn't so much enjoy that worship was at 7:30 in the morning, because that's, I'm not sure Jesus is awake at that point, but it was nice to gather each day of the week, several times a day, to pray as a community. And one of the things that does is it allowed us to be fully rooted in our liturgical calendar. So as we move through the week, we kept all of the holy days, the principal feasts, all the lesser feasts and fasts on the calendar. And there are certain times of the year when those holy days pair really well with what we hear on Sundays. And so a fuller picture emerges, and there's some more depth, and you can see how some pieces fit together in different ways. This is one of those times of the year where I find myself sad that we don't have a daily Eucharist or things like that here, because there are holy days that help frame what we hear this morning. And so today, and I know you're all going to be very excited about this, you're going to get three sermons for the price of one. And I promise you, I see the eyes rolling, pop them back in your heads. I promise this means the sermon is not going to be three times longer than it usually is. So, deep breath in, out, you're all going to be fine. This past week on Wednesday, the church celebrated the holy day of the Confession of St. Peter. The Confession of St. Peter is the day when the church remembers Peter's great confession. And when we say confession in this context, we don't mean like Peter is confessing his sins. This is a profession of faith. And so the gospel for that day, Jesus is with his disciples, and he says to his disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" People say John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus says, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter says in response, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Peter makes this confession of who he understands Jesus to be. I love that this feast day falls in the early part of the season after the Epiphany, because for the last several weeks, we have been focusing on this question, who is Jesus? That's what we were preparing for all through Advent. It's what we celebrate and rejoice in Christmastide. On the Epiphany, we celebrate the manifestation of God to the world. We think about who is Jesus, and we rejoice that he is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And in fact, the last two Sundays, as we've heard the baptism of Jesus, both on the first Sunday after the Epiphany, when we hear it from Matthew's Gospel, and last Sunday from John, we hear divine revelations about who Jesus is. 2 weeks ago, when Matthew told Jesus his baptism story, we heard the heavens open as Jesus emerged out of the waters, and God said, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And then last week, after Jesus is baptized, as he's walking by, John says to his disciples, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This is who Jesus is. And so much of what we have done from the first Sunday of Advent to today is about answering that question. We hear those answers coming from Scripture, and then on the Confession of St. Peter, we hear the witness of the disciples. We are a witness that we are called to emulate. This morning's gospel passage, the first part of it, is Matthew's answer to this question of who Jesus is. Now, you may have noticed, as I was proclaiming the gospel, that you had a little deja vu moment, because you're like, "Wait, didn't Janet just read this? Like, is Dante making a mistake? Did he really mess up the bulletins this week?" No, Matthew is quoting Isaiah, the passage we heard this morning. Matthew quotes Isaiah a whole lot because Matthew is trying to make clear to his audience who he understands Jesus to be. Matthew is making clear what his answer to the question of who Jesus is all about. And for Matthew, the answer to that question is rooted in the prophecies of Isaiah. 14 times throughout Matthew's gospel, Matthew says something like, "And such happened in order to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah." Matthew is making clear that these beautiful, poetic, messianic prophecies from Isaiah, like what we heard in our first lesson this morning, about the people who were in darkness, about their longing for the yoke of oppression to be lifted from them, their yearning for light, all of that comes to fruition in Jesus, the light of the world. Matthew says, "This is who Jesus is, the the Messiah of God who has been promised from long ago, coming into the world to let go of, to release us from the anxieties and burdens and fears of our lives, to show us a new way of life, to bring light in the midst of the land of darkness which we have been dwelling in. Next week, we move on to something different. We're no longer focusing so much on who Jesus is, but what Jesus is doing. Beginning next week, we begin a span of time where we'll hear from that greatest sermon of all, the Sermon on the Mount. And, you know, the gospel passage today ends with, and Jesus was gone, teaching and healing and doing all of those great things. But there's a part in that gospel passage, there's a middle point, and it's a hinge moment. It's a transition point from who Jesus is that helps us get into this next question of what is Jesus doing? And in this transition moment, Jesus begins a new community. Jesus calls his first disciples. And so today we hear the story of the call of Peter and Andrew, James and John. But Jesus is walking along the beach and he sees these fishermen, he sees Peter and he sees Andrew and he says, "Come follow me and I will make you fish for people." And they drop their nets and they go. They walk along the beach a little bit further and they see James and John and their father Zebedee in the boat. They're mending their nets. And Jesus says to James and John, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Well, he doesn't say that to them, but you get the point. I'm going for poetry here, people. So Jesus says, "Come, follow me." And they drop their nets and they leave their father and they go. Immediately, we are told, they go and follow. They don't say, "Hey, Jesus, it's not really a good day. I'm kind of busy. Can you come back next Tuesday?" They don't debate among themselves. They're not like, "What's it pay?" Or, "Can I get a job description?" Or, you know, "Can I see your 501c3 certificate, Jesus?" They just get up and they go. What's really remarkable about this story is probably mostly the immediacy which they go. Because I don't know about all of you, but if a stranger comes up to me and says, "Hey, come follow me," I'm going to be like, stranger danger, I don't think so. And the only thing that really makes me get up immediately is when, you know, the timer goes off on my oven because I have baked goods and I don't want them to burn. Or like when my phone rings when I'm on call. But that's it. But there was something in this call from Jesus that made these disciples get up and or something of the power of God that illuminated kind of this darkness within them that they didn't even know was there. This place that hadn't been illuminated yet in the depths of their being. And when Jesus called them, that light turned on. It was that light bulb moment. They said, "This is it. This is what we've been waiting for, but we didn't even know it." And they go. But the other thing about this call story, which is so amazing, is that it doesn't happen in some miraculous setting. They're not up on a mountaintop there. The heavens don't open. There's no choirs of angels singing. God comes to them in the ordinariness of their lives. These fishermen were doing what they did day in and day out. There was ordinary, mundane work that they did. And in the midst of that, God came to them. And not only did God come to them in the ordinariness of their life, God took the gifts and the skills that they had and transform them to be used for God's purposes. So instead of fishing for fish, they fish for people. Instead of casting nets into the sea, they cast the net of God's world, God's word into the world, drawing all people in. God comes to us in the ordinariness of our lives, using the gifts we have, using our identities, using our skills to say, "These are great and wonderful things. And now I want you to use them for the building of my kingdom." When Peter, Andrew, James, and John follow Jesus, they have a conversion of life. Their world is reordered. And conversion is a really important part of this discipleship call. So 1 week after the feast of the confession of St. Peter, so on Wednesday of this upcoming week, the church will remember the conversion of St. Paul. These two icons and pillars of the early church, these feast days of them, 1 week apart. They're also, by the way, kept in, I think it's June 29th, together with the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. But on the conversion of Paul, we hear the story of his conversion. He's on the road to Damascus, and the blinding light comes, and it knocks him off his horse. And Jesus says to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he's struck blind. And then from that moment, he goes off and he's instructed in faith and scales fall from his eyes and he sees anew and he becomes a great apostle to the Gentiles. It is not an exaggeration to say we are here today because of the foundation set by Paul and his ministry. Sandwiched between these two feast days, this feast of conversion, of answering the question of who Jesus is, and this feast of conversion, of transforming our lives to follow the will of God, is this turning point gospel, where Matthew tells us who Jesus is and says, here is what Jesus is setting up so he can go out and do this work of healing. We're moving into this season after the Epiphany, which in the Roman Catholic Church is actually known as ordinary time. And it's in some ways a way of counting, but there are themes here. But what is so important about this time is that we're not preparing for something. It's not Advent or Lent. We're not celebrating a great feast. It's not Christmas or Easter. This is that ordinary time of our lives. And in the midst of this ordinariness, Jesus comes to us asking this question, who do you say that I am? Jesus comes to us saying, will you change your life and follow me? And it is in doing those things and answering those questions and reordering our lives that we fully come to understand who Jesus is, the Messiah of God, the Lamb of God who comes into the world, God's beloved, in whom God is well pleased. Amen.